Jerry Bader Show, 1036. There's a story out of Wausau that I think is a pretty good one. Oh, Jason, we have the Unhinged Badger Report coming up this half hour. So you'll need that intro. This is from WSAU.com. That, of course, is our station over there. Campaign Literature in Teacher's Lounge. Wausau School District officials want to know who placed campaign paperwork in a teacher's lounge Tuesday. WSAW Television reports the materials from the Wausau Education Association, that would be the teachers' union, were discovered in the Riverview Elementary School, and that Human Resources and Public Relations Director Jeff Gress said they have been removed. The campaign literature on school grounds is a violation of district policy and may even be a violation of state law, since public employees are prohibited from campaigning at work or on the clock. Just ask Scott Walker's county executive staff. The package endorsed candidates Yvonne Henning, who is the board clerk, current Vice President Lance Trollope, and new challenger Jeff Lee. The literature says the WEA believes in electing community members who understand it is their civic responsibility to educate our children. In other words, education establishment hacks who will do our bidding. That's me talking. The package appeared to have a cover sheet removed and had the words "Keep in Lounge" handwritten in the right margin. A similar incident happened in 2011 when literature was left in the Wausau West High School Teachers Lounge, encouraging teachers to boycott businesses that supported Governor Walker. Which, by the way, that has just gotten entirely forgotten, is that they tried to intimidate businesses to their point of view. This is the other point I made, and look, if there was improper campaigning on Milwaukee County time for Scott Walker, that should and would, and it was dealt with. Fine. Do you know how often this happens in schools? It happens all the time. And this nonsense that the mainstream media is perpetuating about a secret email system in his Milwaukee County executive office. Yeah, if that's the case, then let's do an open record search on all of the private teachers' emails accessed on public school computers. Let's do that. If you want to get into that stuff, let's do that. It's being reported that Congressman Paul Ryan essentially said blacks and Hispanics are lazy. Did he? This from James Causey, columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Representative Paul Ryan's message for the poor. When U.S. Representative Paul Ryan was asked to discuss his recent War on Poverty report on the conservative radio show Morning in America, that's Bill Bennett's show, on Wednesday, he summed it up by saying some inner-city men suffer from a culture that does not value hard work. But before we go on, let me take a moment to explain Ryan's code words. This is what liberals always do. Well, here's what the conservative really meant. He didn't mean what he said. He meant something else. Inner-city equal black, Hispanic, or very poor whites. Culture equals lazy. We've got this tailspin of culture in our inner cities, in particular of men not working and just generations of men not even thinking about working or learning the value in the culture, Ryan said. There is a real culture problem here that has to be dealt with. These words are harsh by Ryan's standards. He's usually more careful in his approach. Gee, wonder if he's planning to run for president. He's also dead wrong. All you need to do is look at Milwaukee as an example. Milwaukee has its problems with poverty and unemployment. They go hand in hand. The strong manufacturing base that once provided more than 50,000 good-paying, livable-wage jobs in 1970 to inner-city families are gone. These jobs allowed families to purchase their own homes, send their kids to college or private school, and build strong neighborhoods. When these companies started to close their shops and move their businesses to the non-union South, families were hurt. I'm not disputing that. Public education struggled and crime went up. As a result, black men were incarcerated at a record pace. I do dispute that. The families didn't figure out what to do when the jobs left is on the families. Companies have packed up and moved in other communities. There is a problem in the black community. The black leadership, and James Causey, who has a column in a major newspaper, qualifies as black leadership, refuse to accept it. He points out that Ryan didn't talk about any of those things. Okay, it doesn't matter at this point what the root causes were. That was 40 years ago, 44 years ago. There is a culture that is celebrated of anti-establishment. You don't get good grades. I'm sorry. There is that hip-hop culture that does not celebrate success. It celebrates rebellion. And he can try to deny that, but it's true. And while it does cut across racial lines, it is more prevalent in the black community. I'm not saying it doesn't exist in the white community. Per capita, it's more prevalent in the black community. You can call that lazy if you want. But I call it the type of culture where many black kids will ridicule a black kid for working hard in school and getting good grades. What, do you think you're white? And that does happen. I think that's the culture to which Ryan refers, and Causey can deny that it's real, but it is. The Wall Street Journal has been on a mission. That mission is to point out how vulnerable our power grid is. They pretty much exclusively reported that in Southern California last year, a portion of the grid was attacked. And it was written off as vandalism. Recently, Pacific Gas and Electric conceded it was an attack on the power grid, but they had a relay system that allowed Southern California to stay online on the electrical grid. But it highlighted how this is a terror attack waiting to happen. Wall Street Journal has a follow-up on this today. The U.S. could suffer a coast-to-coast blackout if saboteurs knock out, okay, there are 55,000, let me interrupt myself, there are 55,000 electric transmission substations, okay? There are 55,000 electric transmission substations. Guess how many terrorists would have to knock out to cause a coast-to-coast blackout? Of those 55,000 substations, Jason, how many do you think they'd have to take out simultaneously? Just take a guess. 40,000? 40,000. You want to stay with your first guess. Nine. The U.S. could suffer a coast-to-coast blackout if saboteurs knocked out just nine of the country's 55,000 electrical transmission substations on a scorching summer day, according to a previously unreported federal analysis. The study by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission concluded that coordinated attacks in each of the nation's three separate electric systems could cause the entire power network to collapse, people familiar with the research said. A small number of the country's substations play an outsized role in keeping power flowing across large regions. The FERC analysis indicates that the knocking out of nine of these key substations could plunge the country into darkness for weeks, if not months. This is a shocking vulnerability, and I knew the power grid was vulnerable. I had no idea. Ross Baldick of the University of Texas at Austin said this would be an event of unprecedented proportions. No federal rules require utilities to protect vital substations, except nuclear power plants. Regulators recently said they would consider imposing security standards. That's a hell of an idea. You might want to look at that. There are 55,000 substations. They would have to knock out nine, and they could take down the entire grid coast to coast? That begs the question, and it's one I guess I shouldn't want to ask. Why hasn't it happened? All right, we have one heck of an unhinged Badger report for you coming up in three. It's 10:45.
The Jerry Bader Show.